everyone, Jenny Taft here. Thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I wanted to tell you about another podcast from Fox Sports that we're very excited about. It's Waltrip Unfiltered, featuring two-time Daytona 500 winner Michael Waltrip. Michael will be speaking with the biggest names in NASCAR each week, like Daytona 500 winner Denny Hamlin, and discussing the biggest storylines in the sport. Episode 1 is available now, wherever you get your podcasts. So subscribe and listen to Waltrip Unfiltered right now. Now, let's get the show started. Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, should NBA stars actually avoid teaming up with LeBron James? Plus, Chris Broussard explains why he's not ready to write off the Celtics quite yet. And can the Cowboys afford to keep all their stars in Dallas? Skip Shannon, let's get to it.
LeBron's first season in LA has not gone according to plan. They're under 500, out of the playoffs, and weren't able to bring Anthony Davis to the Lakers at the trade deadline. In yesterday's San Francisco Chronicle, Bruce Jenkins wrote that it makes no sense for star players to join LeBron in LA at this stage of his career. So, Shannon, do you think star players still want to play with the King?
Yep. I know one.
You.
Nope. AD.
He wishes.
Name a player that's 25 years or younger that's better than Anthony Davis, and you can go. You can take Jokic. I'll give you Jokic. I'll give you Embiid. I'll give you Giannis. I'll give you whomever you want. Anthony Davis.
I'll think about Embiid.
Well, okay. Well, you think about it all you want to. Because I'm going to take 29, 13, 4, 2, and 2 any day. That's what I know. He wanted to play with LeBron. And the thing is, Skip Bayless, here's the thing. Superstars know. Because what's happening right now is that the young guys are not superstars. So they're commodities that you're willing to trade to get a bigger asset. Because if you want big fish, catch what you got to use. You got to use big bait. You don't catch Moby Dick with a minnow. You use a big marlin. That's what you use, Skip Bayless. Anthony Davis, no, he's not going to be a part of any trade. Neither would Kawhi, neither would KD, or any of these top superstars. Skip, you understand that. They make it seem like LeBron LeBron James is terrible. Old Father Time is caught up with him. He's 27, 8, and 9. That make it seem like he's 15, 5, and 6.
Well, you do.
No,
you tell me how tired he gets. He has to rest on defense.
And he's tired and still give you 24, 12, and 10. But I sure wish he stopped resting. That way he give me 30, 13, and 15. Y'all need to stop with this foolishness, Skip, because you started this parade. You started it.
He's to blame?
Yeah, you started it.
I don't know.
So I deserve what? 50% of the blame for the Lakers right
now? No, the blame. You deserve a lot of the blame for this foolishness that's being perpetuated about LeBron James. His demise is greatly exaggerated. He's going to be here for the very foreseeable future. And we're going to get us a big, because guess what? We're going to talk about that a little later. I feel very comfortable in saying, I said, you know, two weeks ago, I said there's an 80% chance Kyrie's going to leave. I'm up to 90. And Anthony Davis ain't
okay, I'm up to 90 on Kyrie too, but I'm not up to 90 that he's coming to L.A.
No. Without Kyrie, why would Anthony Davis want to go to Boston?
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm talking about. That way we're going to get him anyway.
Well, I still believe that.
It didn't take us a while. I mean, we didn't go. I mean, look, we had a layover. We didn't get to fly nonstop because our objective was to go nonstop from New Orleans to here.
Quick layover?
Yeah. So, you know, we didn't have our funds right, Skip, so we had to take a later flight. But anyway, we're going to get to our destination.
It's a long way to go.
All that being said, sure, I understand everybody can't handle that pressure. And superstars, probably not going to get KD or Kawhi, but we're going to get somebody. Because if you want to win, do you want to win and can you handle the pressure? Because everybody can't play under pressure. I love pressure. I thrived on it. You know why, Skip Bayless? Because I knew what I was doing. See, you never feel pressure if you know what the heck you're doing. If you don't, and if you never felt it before, you're going to feel it. LeBron James know what he's doing, and he can tell you.
Really?
Yep. Sure does.
I haven't noticed that.
You have.
At the late game free throw line under supreme pressure, that guy melts.
What about the last 8 years? You noticed anything?
Missed a whole bunch of late game free throws.
Over the last 8 years?
Yep, I have. I can give you the stats on that, but that's not the topic right now. This is the topic. So what do we know for sure about this? Because you say I'm spreading lies, and I'm just going
to falsehoods.
Spit.
I don't like to say lies. Lies is so hard. My grandma said, boy, don't tell people they're a lie.
So
falsehoods.
Instead, I'm just going to spit a little truth at you right now, because we know for a fact Paul George had a shot at coming to Los Angeles, and he's from the neighborhood. He's from Palmdale, a little north of here. But what did he do? He wouldn't even take a meeting with the Lakers, and he knew that it was going to be LeBron's team, and he chose to stay with Russ's team.
He don't want that pressure.
Right? All right, that's fine. But he knows, because he's been around, what he would have to endure as LeBron's sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know that Kyrie left Cleveland to go to Boston because he just couldn't take any more LeBron. Now, he's tried to backtrack on that. I got to mend the fence. And again, I think he's just trying to send a message to the younger Celtics. Okay, I didn't grow up enough under LeBron. Now you need to grow up under me. But that's a whole other issue that we're going to talk about in the next topic.
So in other words, Kyrie said, the devil I know is better than the one I don't.
But it's still the devil.
Oh, but it was
so
his devil.
Kyrie left. And we only know this from speculation throughout the internet, media reports. Jimmy Butler and that guy up in Toronto, that number two guy.
Why?
I'm not going to say it in this case. Those two reportedly are leaning toward not wanting to play in L.A. with LeBron. Maybe Clippers, but not Lakers, okay? So we know that, and that's interesting to me. I thought before the season started that Kevin Durant would at least consider joining forces with LeBron because Kevin would see it as an opportunity to say, I helped LeBron win a fourth ring.
No, because he'd be basically in the same situation that he's in Golden State.
Yeah.
He's not going to get the credit that he deserves, Skip, unless he can go to a team that hasn't won a championship in a substantial. That's why the people won't say
But remember, if this LeBron team misses the playoffs, then the opportunity rises for Kevin to say, well, I'll go save that team, and I will get a bulk of the credit
for it.
That's
the Lakers. Okay. Imagine him going and taking another superstar, say Kyrie, and he goes to the Knicks, and he wins a title.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're talking about, here's a guy, because we all believe that they're going to win the title this year. So that'll be his third title.
Okay.
He goes and win a fourth title with the Knicks, Skip. Mm-hmm. That's on the level with Cleveland.
No, it would be huge, because it hasn't been since 1973 that they've won, and that's the mecca of
basketball.
And
he's already the best player in Knicks history.
Which brings me back to a recent quote from one Kevin Durant, which to me effectively slammed the door on Kevin coming back to LeBron in L.A. And the quote is, if I could read just parts of it, Kevin Durant said, LeBron has so many fanboys in the media. Even the beat writers just fawn over him. So I get why anyone wouldn't want to be in that environment because it's toxic, said Kevin Durant, who did go on to say, He doesn't blame LeBron for this. He said it's not LeBron's fault. It's the media's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I do think it can get toxic because I concluded yesterday to you, in all my years of following so many superstars in so many sports, I've never seen a bigger post-game finger-pointing blame deflector than LeBron James can be on multiple occasions.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost a common occurrence that his quotes are, don't look at me. It's their fault.
Yeah.
Everything, it smacks of that. That's scary for any co-star, for any sidekick, because clearly, if Anthony Davis does come here, he's going to have to accept that when things go bad, when they go wrong, the fingers are probably going to be pointed not just by LeBron, but by the fanboy media, if you will, at Anthony. He's going to get too much of the blame because you don't want to blame the guy a lot of people think, including you, is the GOAT. So that discredits that narrative. You know, that undercuts the narrative that he's the GOAT, not Michael Jordan.
Well,
you can't blame him. You got to blame Anthony Davis.
Well, KD should be used to that. Because when they didn't close out Golden State, he took the blame. Because he played bad in Game 6.
You mean at Oklahoma City?
At Oklahoma City.
Yeah, yeah.
So he should be used to being taking the lion's share of the blame when things don't go well.
Mm-hmm. He did. He got it in Oklahoma City.
Yeah!
Because that management always sided with Russ. They thought Russ was the alpha, not Kevin. And they probably lived to regret that because Kevin showed you he was an alpha.
What they lived to regret is not bumping up $5 more million and getting James Harden.
Yep.
That's what they regret.
So it comes down to this. I'm ready to conclude. It's Anthony Davis or bust for LeBron James. Anthony was made to play with LeBron. Anthony is not an alpha. He's not a team maker, a difference maker, where he can take over the Pelicans and lift them to the conference finals, right?
Right.
We haven't seen that from him. There's something missing in his makeup. He's more of a complementary star. So he loves LeBron. He idolizes LeBron. They're friends. He's almost like a son to LeBron, so it's a different vibe. There's no competition. Like with Paul George and LeBron, Paul George always wanted to be LeBron. Anthony doesn't want to be LeBron. He just wants to play with his idol.
Ain't got, no pressure.
Okay.
Ain't nobody thinking the Thunder going to win no championship.
The who?
Thunder.
Yeah.
That's why Paul George went there.
Oh, for Paul George.
Yeah, that was no pressure. Playing with no pressure whatsoever.
Well, I think there is right now because I think people give him a shot.
A shot to do what? Yeah. It ain't flu season. Flu season done passed. They guess you're supposed to get that shot in September, October.
A shot to go win this.
They ain't got to. You stop it, Skip. You see that? That's the falsehoods I'm talking about. Mm.
And falsehood?
Falsehood.
Did you watch the Denver game last
night?
They were right there.
And I watched them other night too, get the brakes beat off them.
Okay. Now I'm watching them be the second best team in the West. That's what I'm watching.
The Nuggets are the best team, second best team in the West.
Well, I don't know about that.
Skip the Rockets.
Who do you trust in the postseason? Oklahoma City or Denver?
So now you trust Paul George.
Well, I like the way he's played. I don't like the way he's played the last two games.
Why not?
I've been pushing him for MVP.
Yeah, so have I.
I can't the last two games.
But that's what happens, Skip.
He shot the ball very poorly last night, and they still almost won the game, and your man Jokic took over the game. So he's trying to make his MVP
Yeah, the
case.
Joker.
Okay.
Cooking folk.
He doesn't want to play with LeBron, I can tell you that.
Well, Skip, the man 24, they just gave him a big time. You know what? I see what you do.
Nobody wants to accept Anthony. I give you that.
Skip, everybody's
under
contract.
So are you sure you can navigate Anthony to L.A.?
Skip, everybody's under contract.
Yeah.
You make it seem
like. Well, Anthony's under contract for a whole nother year.
But he wanted to come. He wanted to break a contract.
Yeah.
Say he doesn't want to be in New Orleans anymore. Is that okay with you?
It's okay with me, but he's a clutch sports client. It's made. It's like it's all the skids are greased for him to just slide all the way to L.A.
You want
to
win?
Now you got to figure it out.
If you want to win,
yes.
Or we'll come on to L.A.
Okay.
That's not how it looks right now.
That's not how it looks.
Sorry to remind you. We're
going to do some things, Skip.
Yep.
The dish is not good right now. We need to add a few more ingredients.
Mm.
You know how you cook a dish. You ever cooked before?
I haven't cooked before.
Stop.
Okay, I haven't cooked, but we are not talking about cooking.
But I'm saying, right now the dish that we're trying to serve up is not very good.
Mm.
We need to take a few ingredients out. We need to add some ingredients.
Mm.
And then,
delicioso. Really?
Yep. Mm.
Boy, it's just stinking right now.
That ain't stinking right now. It ain't ready.
22 caves to a.
Well, maybe we got some hog chitlins and collard greens going on.
Okay.
So that'll stink up a kitchen.
We may have a bit of a toxic situation in LA right now, but there is a toxic situation in Boston as well. Is there any way to fix the Celtics? Chris Broussard answers that question. No mercy. So the Celtics hit a new low last night, suffering their worst loss of the season in a 23-point blowout in Toronto. Boston had the lead after the first quarter, but allowed the Raptors to go on an 18-0 run in the second. The Celtics are now 0-3 since the break, and it's their fifth straight loss with Kyrie in the lineup. After the game, the comments were not pretty. Take a listen.
We're just not together. Last couple of years, we were together, and now things hit. We become stronger. We're not there yet. Like I said, we're going to get there. It's just taking time.
Marcus said that you guys aren't playing together. Is that a fair diagnosis?
Is Marcus in pain?
Is it yours? Brad talked about just defensively, guys have been taking shortcuts. So do you see that, and how do you guys fix things like that at this point in the season, you feel like?
I don't know. It's up to Brad.
Okay, we are joined by FS1 NBA analyst Chris Broussard. All right, some interesting comments. Chris, can the Celtics be fixed?
It's interesting that the two flagship franchises of the NBA are both in drama, full drama. All right, yes, though, undoubtedly. I am still very high on these Celtics.
Really?
I don't care meaning I give them a shot in the East. I don't care what the record says. They are one of the top three teams in the East. It's Milwaukee, Toronto, and Boston all on one level. Philly, I know you guys. I think you like Philly.
We both do. I think you do, right?
I said it when you guys were on vacation. And I'll say it again. There is absolutely, positively, no way Philadelphia will beat Boston in a playoff series. They got the Sixers' number. They've beaten them 17 of the last 20 games. And I, as much as I like, and I've said it on this show, I love Simmons and Embiid. They're not mature enough yet. Not to beat that team.
Well, they got Jimmy Butler. You love
Jimmy. Jimmy Butler's now the leader. We've seen that. I mean, when he's in the locker room with young kids, it's disruptive. And Tobias hasn't been in that position as a leader. So they don't have a leader. And I think Brett Brown's a good coach.
He is.
But Brad Stevens out-coaches him when they play. Okay. We saw that last year. So I think that Boston is very fixable. Now, they got some issues. What I'm told is that the problems are really on the court. Like, it's not like the guys really dislike each other. Kyrie's kind of close with Jason Tatum, close with Terry Rozier. Like, so I think the relationships are fine off the court. It's just everybody accepting their roles on the court. I think two things have to happen for them to fix this. One, Kyrie has obviously struggled with leadership, right? First, he went on the calling out the young players route. And then he went to the using LeBron as a prop route, right? To get them to see, you know what I'm saying? Right?
Bingo.
Like, look, I was where you at. I understand, but, you know, follow me. Then he went lead by example, which was good. He averaged 30 and 10 for a seven-game stretch or whatever.
He's been really good.
He's playing terrific. Yeah,
last night, you could just throw out the whole mess of it.
Okay. Now he's going, obviously, the no-comment route. Okay, no so comment. He's struggling with leadership. I think Kyrie needs to go to Brad Stevens and say, look, I want to have a players-only meeting. So don't do it behind his back like it's just the players versus the coach. Tell Brad, I want to have a players-only meeting. Meet with your teammates and say, look, I was wrong for putting our dirty laundry out in the media.
That would help.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm learning just like all of us, you know, from this point, and I apologize. From this point forward, let's keep everything in-house. We're not together. You know, guys don't like each other or, you know, all that. Because that does make it worse. Because especially in today's media climate. But
even if you didn't air it, I saw you got on dirty clothes. So I know something going on. Mm.
Who's seen it? Nobody's
seen it.
We only know it because they all said it.
We see the way they play it. Something ain't right.
Regular season, so that leads me to part two. I think Kyrie needs to say that. Part two. This is the problem with the players on the court. Jason Tatum has gotten better. Individually. Jaylen Brown has gotten better individually, and now they're playing more like ISO guys. Mm-hmm. Like, they want to get theirs, whereas in the past few years, it was, let's do what Brad says.
I know.
And it was one guy. Mm-hmm. It was Isaiah Thomas and everybody else do what you're supposed to do. Kyrie and everybody else do what you're supposed to do. And what they have, maybe Ainge needs to say something, or Brad, look, I get you guys are better. You can do more things. But Jason, your stock around the league, or you were viewed as better when you were just doing what you were supposed to do.
Yep.
Jaylen Brown definitely has seen his stock drop. Terry Rozier. So let's play our role. You're going to get shine if we win.
Right.
Even if you're only scoring 16 points a game or whatever. So I think it's very fixable because Brad Stevens is whether he can handle superstars is a question.
It is.
But I think it's fixable. I'm not saying they'll win the East. I'm just saying they definitely better than Philadelphia, and I think that Milwaukee and Toronto just may be better, but I think they can get to the second round and have a shot to win the East.
For me, I think his expectations are catching up with him. Everybody just assumed they went to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals without Kyrie, without Gordon Hayward. And as you mentioned, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, shine. Okay, now Kyrie comes.
By the way, no Isaiah last year.
No Isaiah.
So, yeah,
right.
Okay.
Right.
And Kyrie got hurt, what, February, March?
Yep.
So you played the last stretch of the regular season.
You did.
Season and all the playoffs without Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
Now Kyrie comes back. All those shots that Jason Tatum was taking uninhibited, Kyrie getting them. Jaylen Brown goes from being a star to playing 35 minutes a night to coming off the bench. Oh, wait a minute. Kyrie, you interfered with my shine. People started talking about Jason Tatum legit. Jason Tatum, I say in 2-3 years, Jason Tatum going to be an all-star. He's going to be a superstar. That ain't what they saying right now.
That's not how it looks.
Yeah. And everybody was talking, oh, Jason Tatum is this and Jaylen Brown. Are we sure that the package that Boston can put together with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown better than the Ingram and Kuzma? We can't say that right now.
I'm not going to say that.
Can we say that?
I think you can say it.
How?
Tatum.
All I know, Ingram and what?
I think it's arguable, but I give you, it's arguable.
Well, last year, that'd have been a slam dunk.
Right.
Boom.
Guess what? Jason Tatum last year averaged, guess how many? 14 points a game. Not like 24 points, right. But 14. This year he's
playoffs,
up.
Playoffs, he was.
Okay, he was. But this year he's up to 16 points a game, and he looks worse than he did last year.
And,
okay?
And you know the big Brad Stevens, Skip? Brad Stevens, Chris? The thing that we know about coaches, if you look at the coaches that's won a lot of, and some of them are great, and not to take anything from Pop, but if you look at Phil Jackson, I don't know if it was coaching or him being able to handle egos.
Totally agree. It was all a mix.
That's the thing.
Right.
So now Brad Stevens, when he coached at Butler, dude, you getting one-star recruits. They ain't got no egos. Butler was their only choice.
Right.
You ain't got to deal with what Coach K and John Calipari and Roy Williams and Bill himself and Kansas got to deal with. So now you come in, you got Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
Remember now, Kyrie said he wanted to go on his own and be his own boss.
Yep.
So now Kyrie coming with that mentality, I see what LeBron had, I want that. Right. I see what KD, I see what other superstars get.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Kyrie need that too. And these other guys, they bucket. They're like, bro, we went to game 7. I'm surprised one of them hit him with that Draymond hit KD with. We were winning before you got here. Bro, we went to the Eastern Conference Finals. Mm. We played all through the playoffs without you. Mm. And now you come back here and monk up our chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't having it. Kyrie gone. Mm-hmm. Oh, Uncle Drew.
I agree with that.
Kyrie gone, Chris.
I think there's still a chance quickly that he let's see how it plays out. I do think he's going to end up leaving, but I don't think Boston is totally out of it. That's all I'm saying.
Everybody in that locker room thinks the leader, quote unquote, is out the door, right?
That's why they take a shot.
Yeah.
Why would you not do everything you possibly could to make sure, hey, man, you know, hey, Kyrie's playing unbelievable, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, we was close the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. Well, Kyrie only been there 2 years.
Yeah.
When were you close? When he been there? That's what I need to know, Chris.
My bottom line, my takeaway right now on February 27th. Shocking mess. Unfixable mess. I do not see this team beat, and right now as it stands, they would have to play Philly without home court in round number one. I don't think they could beat Philly. Philly arguably has the best starting five in basketball, and I'm not sure about the bench, but I'm sure enough about Embiid, Ben Simmons, JJ, Jimmy Buckets.
Tobias.
I'm sure enough, and Tobias. I'm just sure enough they could beat a very troubled Boston Celtics. And I agree with you. It doesn't feel off the court. It feels on the court, deeply troubled. And it starts with the one star that Brad Stevens did have at Butler named Gordon Hayward. And I have never been a fan. I wasn't a fan before the draft. I was dumbfounded at the hysteria over his free agency 2 years ago. Like, what are you talking about? He now makes $32 million a year to come off the bench for the Boston Celtics. That's troubling to that locker room. You don't think they all look sideways at Gordon? Not that he's a bad guy, because he's a nice guy.
And he's not as good as Tatum or Jaylen Brown.
Come on. How would you even put him in the same sentence?
That injury robbed him, Chris.
Hey, $32 million to average 11 points and 5 rebounds a game. He started 17 of 51, so he mostly comes off the bench. That's a problem. Kyrie is a problem. He is still the best closer in basketball. There's nobody I want to see with the ball in his hands with 30 seconds left than that guy.
That's why I still give him a shot.
Okay, you could be right, and I'll give you that much, but he is no leader. He's not a – you're born to lead. You're not chosen. You can't appoint yourself, and he tried to appoint himself, and it did not work in this locker room. And I liked what Isaiah Thomas said. I'm not talking about the new one, but the old one, Hall of Famer. The big Isaiah, right? Last night on TNT. He said they don't enjoy playing together, and they just don't. I watched the body language. There's no joy in it whatsoever. Last year, the ball moved because they were all kind of interchangeable parts, and it was all fun. And Terry Rozier would come in and be scary Terry and just light it up. And they got in a rhythm and a rotation of, this is your role, this is your role. You get to do this, you get to do this. And the ball would just fly around. They played defense at the high. Weren't they maybe one of the best defenses? Right?
They're still top five.
They're top five, but they're not. They don't play with that edge they played with on defense last year. And now that you think Kyrie's going to be out the door, you're just like, let's just get this over with and go on to next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think at its soul, this team has torment and trouble. And it's on the court, not off. But to me, I would not trust them going into a series against Philadelphia. And again, I liked Philly from the start, and I think Joel Embiid is the best player in the East, and I give you Greek Freak, and you've been on Milwaukee's bandwagon from the start, and you are that's a very deep team. And every time I watch Toronto now, with more new pieces and Jeremy Lin,
what the new piece they got? They got a new piece in the summer.
You mean Siakam?
No.
Did you see Siakam last night?
Oh, Clark.
Okay, but that team is loaded from top to bottom. And Van Vliet sitting over there in street clothes right now, and it didn't even matter because they just lit up the Celtics. They ran them off the floor last night.
All that said, and Milwaukee and Toronto may just be better than Boston.
Mm-hmm. They might be.
But this Boston team, with all its issues, went to Milwaukee, which has the best record in the East, and went to the last second, and the NBA admitted Kyrie got fouled twice.
Okay. I tweeted it immediately. He should have been shooting two free throws. And you know what would have happened? He would have made them both.
Yep. Probably. I agree. Yep. So, you said it. Arguably the best closer in the game. Not just the last shot, but those. He had 10 points, I think, in the last 2.5 minutes. He's scary at the end of the game. Yeah. And then you got, I know they have issues, but they're still top five defensively. And when you don't play well together or don't have chemistry, defense is usually the thing to go. Because defense, you have to be on a string. You have to be connected. You have to be talking. So that is still there. They're tough. Yep. They're gritty. Yep. I know they got issues. I just don't think it's unfixable.
Yeah, Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown said, why are we playing 20 minutes when we were playing 30 last year?
I get it, but what's going to help them? Winning.
Yeah.
Because you only playing 20 minutes, period. Win or lose, you only going to get your 20-something minutes.
Everybody says they want to win. But I need my numbers, Chris Broussard. Winning don't get me paid.
It's real.
Winning don't get you a max contract.
A lot of them still in the rookie scale. I get it.
But they don't want to
win. That's why
be.
Most young guys don't win. Because it's establish
talent.
Yourself.
Yeah.
They
that's
have
the first
the
step.
I agree. Put money. It together and stop taking shortcuts, which is what they keep saying.
You need that money out there, Chris?
No mercy.
February isn't just about one super-sized football game. On Spotify, there's thousands of free sports podcasts that agonize over the preseasons, off-seasons, and plain old regular seasons of nearly every sport imaginable. Basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, curling, and even hurling. Yeah, that's a real sport. Look it up. Now it's so easy to stay updated with the latest trade rumors, predictions, and scorching hot takes from some of your favorite game's biggest names. So take it one episode at a time and give 110% of your attention to the thousands of free sports podcasts on Spotify. Because the best offense is a good podcast.
No mercy.
We're going to go back to the NBA because the Thunder lost to the Nuggets last night, but the story of the game happened late in the third quarter when a young fan made contact with Russell Westbrook from his courtside seat. Russ clearly did not appreciate being touched by a fan, but kept his cool when he saw it was a little kid and instead offered a brief teaching moment to the young boy and his father. But after the game, Westbrook was clearly still bothered by the incident. Take a listen.
He hit me, so I told his dad, just be careful, man. You can't have your son just hitting random people. I don't know him. He don't know me. So just let him know, just got to control your kids. For all the fans, though, it's too much leeway, man, for the fans to be able to touch the players and get away with it. And then you can't react, and do the things that we need to do to protect ourselves. What I'm going to do, hop in the stands. So, it's got to be some type of rule or some type of boundary set that you can't allow that.
All right. I was pretty surprised when I saw the video. So, Shannon, what is your take on the situation?
Russ is absolutely right. The close proximity, professional sports is as close as NBA basketball.
Nothing like it.
I mean, because in hockey, you got the glass. In the football, you got the stands and whatever. So nothing is like this.
Even golf, you do have ropes, right?
Right, and you got marshals standing. But
this is the one where you can literally sit in your seat and reach out and touch.
Right, because there have been times, Skip, you see when they take the ball out of bounds on the side, that the official will ask the fans to step back because the guy doesn't have any room to be out of bounds.
Yep.
He's absolutely right. Russell didn't know at the time that it was a child. And then once he realized it was, he used it as a teaching moment.
Right.
I'm not so sure he would have reacted the same way had it been an adult, because he's had an incident before with a fan in Utah. And Russ is absolutely right. Look, They should have asked the father and the son to leave the game. Because players cannot.
I think the mom is there too. She it looks like she. So it'd be
all of
three
them.
Of them.
All of them.
At that point, yep. Yes.
It looks like it's the mom.
Because guess what, Skip? Players can't go up in the stands.
Yeah.
Because you don't want another malice in the palace.
No, nope, you don't.
So. Well, it's just a child. No. Yep. No. And I don't want to hear this about they make millions of dollars and no. You don't go to a game to be able to say what you want and to be able to touch a player. It's fine and oh, it's just he just everybody thought that was fine and good until guess what, Skip? Remember Monica Sellers? She like the lost her life. She was never the same player after that incident.
She got stabbed in the neck.
Yeah. You know, Russ didn't know his intention. All he knew is somebody touched him. And he knew it wasn't an NBA player and it wasn't an official. So now his reaction is he turned around and then he realized it was a kid. He used it as a teaching moment. But come on, parents, you know better. It would be the same if somebody walked up to you and you in the street and somebody put their hands on your child and touched you. Like, hold on, you don't know my child. I don't know you.
Yep.
No, you don't pay. And people, they have this notion. Well, I paid all this and the seats probably cost $1,000. You pay to be close to the action, not to be a part of the action. Mm-hmm. Don't touch the players.
Yep.
You didn't pay for that. Yell and scream, and you know, that's the problem that I have is that fans think because they pay an absorbent amount of money that they can say whatever they want, they can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you don't want another malice at the palace. Teach your kids how to go to a game, enjoy the game. They don't get it right because you paid $5,000 or $10,000 for front row seats to be able to touch the players. You should feel like you can.
Yep.
It's kind of like 3D.
Yeah.
You like the action is like right there upon you, and it actually is, but you don't become involved. You don't put your hands on the players because Russ didn't know that was a child until he turned around, and then he's like, he reacted. But I can assure you, if that would have been an adult, that he would have got a very different response from Russ.
Quick point of order. I'm not sure how old this child really is because at first I thought 8-ish, and then the more I look at his face, he might be 12-ish or like seventh grade.
He's old enough to know.
Right?
Agree.
Old enough to know. And I sit back and I say, I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to rack my brain. Can you remember ever any fan touching a player in a game? Because I don't remember any.
No. Not that you get. You know, sometimes
like, I think this was a first. I think it was a first. Seriously.
I'm surprised it doesn't happen more. Skip, you know.
I know. I agree.
You remember NBA Finals when court back in the 80s when he used to storm the court? I'm surprised more things didn't happen bad then.
Okay.
Because you see Larry Bird one year, he's shoving people out the way trying to get off the court.
Okay, and, well, you're talking about Indiana State?
No. In Boston, the guard. Okay, remember they beat the Lakers in Game 7.
Well, do you remember the game to get to the Final Four for Indiana State against Arkansas? He just decked one of his own fans who ran on the court and tried to get up in his face.
Yes.
He decked him.
Yes.
And those days, no internet, he got away with it, okay? So here's the point. The kid, he just lost it for a second. I don't know if he's a video game product of, you know, product of video games where he thinks you're in a video game and you can do whatever you want to do. But he was actually taking a swipe at the opposing star. Am I right?
Right.
Okay.
He wanted to tell his friends, I touched Russell Westbrook.
Well, I don't know that I think he was pushing him.
Yeah.
Wasn't he taking a little swipe at him?
It looked like he's obviously a Denver guy. So
yeah.
He's trying to get in his way.
Okay. All right?
Disruptive.
So he's sort of going after the opposing player, and you can tell your friends, look what I did to Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
That's just crazy, man.
Yes.
That's gone completely over the edge.
Yes.
Now all bets are off. Right. And I appreciated the fact that Russell handled it just beautifully because, remember, he now has a 2-year-old son, and they just had twin daughters.
Mm-hmm.
So he is a father.
Yep.
He seems to really be embracing fatherhood.
Yes.
So he tried to use it as a teaching moment for father and son.
Right.
The one thing he's got to watch, he put his hand down on the kid's knee.
Right.
Right. To say, okay, you got this sort of thing. And again, the liability in this day and age, you can get sued for that.
Right.
They could say it was psychologically damaging to our child or whatever, because you can sue anybody for anything.
You can.
So you just have to keep hands off.
Yes.
So now we've got a physical touching.
Right.
The verbal has been very interesting because today's players, unlike the players from your age, you were taught, I've always heard through all my years of covering sports, no rabbit ears, just tune, you know, right. what's the old thing? Sticks and stones can break your bones, right. but words can never hurt right. you, okay? Well, I've always said, no matter what they yell, these players today, especially these NBA players, they are taking a stand against right. verbal abuse mm-hmm. when it goes to N-word abuse
yes,
or
absolutely.
Mother
You're
insults.
Talking about my mom, or, yeah, right? yes. Or you got a wife or something like that, okay. absolutely,
So
yes.
I do appreciate that because I used to think, and this is what I live by, if I'm out and somebody's yelling at me, I just tune it out, just go on.
Right.
Head up, eyes up, go on, right? Mm-hmm. Because you can't win that, right?
Right.
You can't. There's nothing you can really right. do to go get in their face and win it. Mm-hmm. So you go on. But these players today, starting with Russell Westbrook, he's starting to say, I'm not going to take that, right? You right. got the Utah thing. Yep. I'm not going to take that.
Right.
So now they're singling out a fan for verbal abuse and telling the ushers or the security people, out.
To ask you a question, in baseball, mm-hmm. the ball's coming down the line.
Yep.
You grab the baseball, but you fall out of the stands. What do they do? They ask you to leave.
Yep.
They ask
oh, yeah,
you
if you interfere with the baseball.
Yeah.
Okay. No, they do.
Once you come out the stands,
yep.
you got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He touched Russ. He left his seat. To touch Russ, I can get it. When Russ, if you're trying to brace yourself, Russ is coming, and you're trying to move out the way, you're like, oh, don't follow me. I get that.
Yeah.
But to stand up out of your seat and to touch the guy, oh, you got to go. Family, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but those are the rules.
It was surprising.
Well, the booing would have ensued in Denver if you had taken three Denver fans from the front row, including the kid, mm-hmm. and ushered them unceremoniously out of the arena.
It wasn't unceremoniously.
I know.
You know why you're getting ushered out.
I know. But you know what else I looked for? The boy didn't seem too apologetic. He didn't say, like, oh,
he
I'm
didn't
sorry.
At all. He,
no.
he wasn't surprised, and the father didn't either.
Hey, the father and the mom were just laughing.
Yeah.
Laughing.
Was, mm-hmm.
Like
they
thought
it was
yeah,
funny.
Cute. Yeah, they get cute.
Real
I just, that's what worries me, that if that's the reaction
you gotta
that we're
have
getting,
boundaries.
You should be
We got boundaries. We got boundaries. And like I said, it starts at home.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I understand he's a child. It's like, he's old enough to know right from wrong. It's hard for me to believe that this is his first game. They could have been.
Yep.
And maybe he just got caught up in the moment. But no, you can't do that.
I know. And Russ's comments are like eye for an eye comments, like, he says, sometimes we need to do what we need to do to protect ourselves.
Yes.
So he's like, hey, if you're going to shove me, I'm going to shove you back.
And that's the thing. And Russ, you know, Russ also said, they'll say things to you in that arena that if they saw you walking
sure.
the street
no,
and wouldn't. You were walking the street,
no.
they wouldn't utter those things.
No.
But because they're in the building, they have the confines. They're like, okay. Because these same people are like, oh, hey, how you doing? Oh, I love you. Can I get a picture?
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you get to the arena.
I agree.
You know what? Your mom did.
Well, they're empowered by the fact that 18,000 people are with them or whatever, you know, right?
I like that Russ came out and said something about it.
There
and
you
hopefully
go,
it will
I
serve
like
as
Russ.
A reminder.
I do too.
That is just
I
not
did
acceptable.
Like how it came off, and I think it's a good lesson learned
what
for
Russ
everybody
should have
watching.
Did, what Russ should have done,
mm-hmm.
like, that's a child. You not. I'm going to whip you for
that,
your son.
I don't think that would have ended
I'll whip
well.
You for your son's action.
That would have wiped the smile off his face.
Exactly. No
mercy. Well, there was some bad news for Skip's Cowboys yesterday. First, defensive end Randy Gregory was suspended indefinitely for violating the NFL substance abuse policy. He was second on the team in sacks last season after being suspended for all of 2017. And then it was reported that defensive end David Irving could also be suspended. He will be a free agent next month. So, Skip, this is your team.
Yep.
How concerned are you right now?
This is not good. Mr. Sharp. We did a topic last week in your absence,
mm-hmm.
in which we asked, what do the Cowboys need to add to become a mm-hmm. Super Bowl team? And my answer was nothing, nothing but experience. I thought all the pieces were in place.
Okay.
I spoke too soon. I very possibly jinxed or even doomed myself by saying that. I do love a lot of the key pieces to this team, but I don't love this. And my mother didn't teach me a whole lot, but she did always say, you get what you pay for. And that's what they got with Randy Gregory. They stole him in the second round. He was going to be a top five pick, but obviously had multiple drug issues at Nebraska.
Yeah.
And last year, they got a lot of bang for their bucks because they paid him a grand total of $782,000, and he had six sacks and multiple pressures on the quarterback because he is a high-motor disruptor, is Randy Gregory. Mm-hmm. It was predictable. He fell once again because his history would scream, look out, look out, look out, and here it comes again. God bless him. I hope he gets his life straight, but history would tell you he's always going to struggle with the demon that he has.
That's correct.
Which brings me to one, David Irving. Of all the defensive players on that defensive front, I love him the most. I love his potential, even over DeMarcus Lawrence's potential. 6 foot, 7 inch, 300-pound monster with real quickness, like Aaron Donald sort of quickness. Is he? Could he be Aaron Donald? I don't know.
No.
But he has that kind of explosiveness, but he's got his demons. This very possibly could be his third suspension, maybe, coming up. It's been predicted it's on the way. Third in 3 years? And that's why the Cowboys, I think, were ready to let him walk in free agency anyway. Which brings me to DeMarcus Lawrence. His negotiating leverage just went through the closed roof of Jerry World.
Yes, it did.
Now you're going to have to dramatically overpay to keep him from walking into free agency. Because, as we discussed yesterday, I consider him a very good player, but not a great player. And even you agreed he's not DeMarcus Ware or Von Miller at his peak. He's not one of those guys. He's definitely not my favorite all-time pass rusher, Charles Haley, for the Dallas Cowboys, number 94, who finally got in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. He's not that guy. Which brings me back to what's going to happen when you do overpay him. He's not going to have a bookend next year, it looks like to me. He's not going to have a Randy Gregory because they don't grow on trees. The Cowboys don't pick in this draft until the bottom of the second round. No Taco Charlton. I'm not
going to. No. Skip. You tell me he's going to be making tacos. They're going to be selling tacos at Jerry World. You ain't even mentioned it.
He's had his. I did before you did. He's had his moments, but he's not Randy Gregory. He's not a bookend, every down smash and masher at defensive end.
He's a first-round pick.
I know. He's a late first-round pick. Yep, I'll give you that. Maybe he'll rise and shine. I hope so. Because if he doesn't and there's no bookend, you know what's going to happen to DeMarcus Lawrence more and more.
Yeah, they double
they'll
him.
They'll triple him. They'll take him out of the game.
Exactly.
And you know what will happen then? If there's no pass rush, you know what's going to happen. All of a sudden, the corners start looking bad. And all of a sudden, the safeties look worse. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you say, you can't defend the pass.
Right?
I've
always thought the secondary was the weakness of the unit.
But it got camouflaged.
Right? Because they can get up the quarterback.
I agree.
Yep.
So I fear there's going to be a gaping hole over at the opposite end from DeMarcus Lawrence next year. And again, you know what you can say You can say what Jerry said all last offseason about the number one receiver. We don't have one. We'll do it by committee. Mm-mm. And I kept saying, well, maybe he's right. Maybe. And then they went down to Carolina for the opener, and then they went to Seattle, and I kept saying, they can't get open. Nope. There's not a number one. Mm-mm. Well, if there's not a number one at the other defensive end, you got a problem.
Right.
Because if you have no pass rush, what did you tell me yesterday, Mr. Hall of Famer? You said defensive end is the most important position on the football field after quarterback.
Yep.
You are correct, sir.
Because the one guy scores the point, you better have somebody that can keep him from scoring.
All right. So just when I thought I was safe, I got double jeopardy bad news because I got Randy Gregory and I got David Irving back-to-back in the same afternoon. How is that possible? Only in Dallas can that happen.
But here's the thing, Skip. The Cowboys' defense has had at least one starter suspended each of the last four seasons. DeMarcus Lawrence, Orlando Scandrick, Rolando McClain, Greg Hardy, Randy Gregory. Randy Gregory going to be suspended again.
Boy, you just listed some, but, some bad apples.
But why? But Jerry's willing to take chances.
Plunger. He plunged to make his fortune in life in the oil field. That's what he does.
This is why a lot.
And you know what? Jerry's got... There's in Jerry is some of all those guys.
Yes.
He's got a little bit of that in him, and so he gravitates to it because he says, I overcame it, they can overcome it.
And this is why so many of Jerry's players love him because he's willing to give them a second chance.
Yep.
Skip, and he surrounds them with a system and with caretakers to make sure they have the best because Randy Gregory and DeMarcus Lawrence had very, very similar situations.
Yep.
And Randy, for whatever reason, DeMarcus Lawrence was able to turn the corner so far.
Say,
you know what? Being in the NFL and making millions and taking care of my family financially is more important to me. For whatever reasons, Randy Gregory can't shake these demons. Yeah. He can't. I give you another, Von Miller.
Yeah.
Skip, look at Von. Von had a very similar situation.
It's a good example, and I agree. And I don't know what happened, but the switch got flipped. I don't know.
He realized how important football was. Okay. Sometimes guys get it, Skip. Sometimes when you're away from something, you realize how important it is and how soon it can be taken away from you, and a switch goes off. Hmm. And Von turned himself into Super Bowl MVP, captain of the Denver Broncos.
He did.
One of the voices.
Yep.
He's the leader of the team, not the quarterback.
What's the next thing I saw after that? He's in like five national TV commercials.
Yes.
That guy?
Yes. Old Spike. Really? So now you got two D linemen down. Randy Gregory's gone indefinitely, and it looks like they're going to let David Irving skate out the door.
It looks like.
Taco Charlton in 2 years has four sacks. Three his first year, one less.
He's had glimpses and flashes.
Yeah. Good thing I don't like glimpses. Mm-hmm. I don't like flashes. Mm-hmm. I like steady.
I know. That's so do like, I. Yeah. I agree. Yep.
And because that, Skip, look, and when you, here's the thing. When you take chances on guys like this, which he did, you got better hope they make the right decisions.
Yep.
Because if they don't, there's a reason why you got Randy Gregory. There's a reason why you got DeMarcus Lawrence where you did.
Mm-hmm.
Skip, they weren't going to be there for you to pick where you got them.
Yep.
And so this is what happens, Skip. Jerry's willing to take that risk, and sometimes it works out for you. Mm-hmm. DeMarcus Lawrence, it worked out for you.
Okay.
This Randy Gregory doesn't look like it's going to work out. This David Irving doesn't look like it's going to work out. And when you – I give you another example. Look at Khalil Mack. Now, Khalil Mack in Oakland, he was okay, but he didn't have anybody outside of him.
That's true.
They could slide the protection. Mm-hmm. They could really take – he got 10 sacks. But not nearly the impact when he goes to Chicago and they got Hakeem Hicks and they got Floyd on one side. Yeah. Now, all of a sudden, you see what he can do. Von Miller has been unbelievable. But look at when he had D-Ware and when he had Malik Jackson, when he had guys that you just couldn't set your protection to stop him.
Okay.
Skip, I don't want bad news. You think I want this to happen to
you?
But we already got these two cases that y'all were going to miss the playoffs.
Yep, and I own them.
Yeah.
Accept them.
Two.
Still got a long way to go.
And again, you got a short time to get there.
And I still got a Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper.
Hey, we're going to talk about them a little later.
Yes, we are.
We're going to talk about them a little later.
But at least I got them for next year.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure.
You sure?
Well, I got to knock on wood.
Maybe you got to be careful what you say now.
They might want somebody.
Yep.
I brought that up yesterday. Remember, Skip, I brought that up yesterday. I said, Skip, how you going to pay all these people?
Mm-hmm.
These people want money.
Okay. We'll talk and about DeMarcus that a little bit.
See, here's the thing, Skip. And DeMarcus Lawrence says, hold on, wait a minute. I might have been willing, because the difference between Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack is that they had 1 year left on their contract. Mm-hmm. This man's free.
Yep.
And remember, free agency is not about being good or great. It's about being free.
At the right time.
Yeah, he's free.
Yep.
And guess what? It'll cost you $20,500,000 if you franchise him. Do you want $20 million against your cap?
Mm.
Is that what you want, Skip? I didn't think so.
At least his drug suspension was reportedly amphetamines as opposed to other drugs that could be addictive. Not that amphetamines couldn't be addictive, but you have a better chance of saying, I can live without that. Right?
So now, with that being said, DeMarcus Lawrence said, you know what? I saw what Aaron Donald got. Mm-hmm. I saw what Khalil Mack got.
I agree.
But they weren't free. I'm free. So I want $80 million guaranteed on a $120 million contract.
All right.
You got that for me, Jerry?
We'll see. He's got it right now, but that could cause some problems down the line.
DeMarcus Lawrence. And you see, he had the money shirt on yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He knew what was coming. He knew, too. He had probably, his agent probably told him, I heard,
through
the grapevine.
Yeah, that's true. You hear that.
Money, 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 money.
Yep. What did Jerry Jones get away with doing through the 1990s? A dynasty happened because of it. He plunged on a whole lot of players questionable characters.
Yeah, he did, Skip.
Our man Michael Irvin had his issues, and Eric Williams had his, and Mark Tuinay, and Nate Newton, and I could go on. If you gave me another hour, I could keep going. And they got away with it because the leadership of that team was so strong, starting with Michael Irvin, and they should have won four straight Super Bowls. And Jerry knows the history of this team back to Tom Landry's Cowboys. Trust me, there were times and days when America's team was more South America's team, as they used to derisively call it, because it was Drug City. And they got away with it because there wasn't the testing there is today. But there were a lot of bad apples who played for, as I called him, God's coach, Coach Landry. And they won lots of championships with bad apples. So Jerry is plunging and plunging, and he got burned.
What a thing that they could do back in the 90s that they don't have now was depth.
Yep.
They went eight deep on the defensive line.
That's true.
They don't have eight defensive linemen. Mm-hmm. So when you can trot out Charles Haley and Tolbert and Russell Merrill and Leon Lett, and then you keep going and running them in and out, and you had those fast linebackers running in and out, you could do that. They don't have that depth now, Skip. You got your money concentrated in a few small areas, and you get, understand. So now, I mean, with the exception of Deion, what the money make big, you know, Deion was the really big free agent.
He was.
He and Charles Haley made decent money, but not like Deion.
Not like
because
that.
They had to overpay to get Deion.
They did.
Because
and they
everybody wanted him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he changes the balance of power.
And he was worth every cent.
Every dime.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So this is what you got, Skip. And you know this. When you take look, it's kind of like with anything. You can invest in a stock like, I don't know, this stock is really, really risky. Google early on, Apple early on. You're like, I don't know about no search engine. Like, Google, but when it splits 17 times and it's valued at $1,000 a share, you sitting back like, whoa. But what if you had Enron? And now you're sitting there like,
What did you have?
I didn't have Enron.
You didn't have Enron?
No.
You had a big piece of Google, right?
No. I wanted to get some Google, Skip, but someone talked about it. It was supposed
Someone talked you out of Google? Who is that?
Skip,
call him or her out.
Let me tell you what happened.
Yeah.
It was supposed to open at $85 a share. It opened at like 105. And he said, it's overpriced. It'll come down.
It didn't come down.
Not only did it not come down, it split probably 20 times. It is like $1,000 a share now.
Is this a stockbroker who's no longer
all I'm saying is they're talking about. But here's the thing, Skip. And he said, look, Shannon, I understand that we didn't make any money, but we didn't lose any. So that's the way he explained it to me.
I don't know if I'm gonna get it.
How should I be? Should I be upset? Help.
I think you shouldn't be working with that man anymore.
Time to move on.
No mercy.
The Cowboys look like they are headed for an expensive offseason. Stephen Jones confirmed yesterday their top priority is re-signing DeMarcus Lawrence, but also said locking up Dak Prescott is high on the priority list. Dak has 1 year left on his rookie deal, but yesterday, Stephen not only said that Dak deserves to be paid like an elite QB, but that he wants to commit to Dak now. Jones also promised a big payday as for Ezekiel Elliott that will be in the same range as Todd Gurley's deal. So, Shannon, how can Jerry pay these stars?
Without the stars giving him a significant discount, I don't see how he does it. And for me, I would not give Jerry Jones a discount, especially not after my second contract.
Well, you hate the Dallas Cowboys. Why would you give him a discount?
This is what fans expect.
Okay.
Jerry, if you want to win, this is what you do to keep the team together. Jerry Jones gets to win and buy $250 million yacht. But if I want to win, I got to give Jerry Jones a discount. I wish I might. If I'm DeMarcus Lawrence, I want 100%. I want a dollar on a dollar. I'm not giving you 90 cents or 95% or 85%. No, Skip Bayless. I'm not going to do that.
You would have crawled to Dallas to be a Cowboy.
No, I would not. I like to win.
Yep.
I like to win.
You wanted to play for America's team in Big D.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway, Skip, stop it. You and I both know is that it's going to be hard. Now, you get somewhat of a discount if you sign these guys with a year left on their contract because they're not totally free. But to pay $25, $30 million, Dak is looking at Kirk Cousins. He got $84 million guaranteed, Jerry. That's the starting point because he's won one division. I've won two. So I need at least that. Zeke Elliott says, well, you know, Todd Gurley got this. Let me see what Le'Veon Bell get. Now, he can't get Le'Veon because Le'Veon is truly free, Skip. So that's still going to be somewhere around, what, $35 million? Guaranteed? Amari Cooper coming. What are they going to do with Cooper? Byron Jones coming. What are they going to do with him? And guess who else wants some money, Skip, in a year? Jalen Smith. You got to pay him. And they looking at Jerry and say, Jerry, you got to I might not be able to get a $250 million yacht, but I can get me a Chris Kraft for about $45,000. So I need my paper. And this is my first contract. Now, maybe 3 years, maybe year 10, you know what? It ain't about money. I've made all the money. Mm-hmm. I got me $150 million. I'm stacked up. Mm-hmm. But I wish I might give a guy. Why do fans expect billionaires to get discounts? Mm. But a millionaire. I mean, because that's the players. Players will never be in the situation that the owners are.
Mm.
But
different.
The fans expect the players, if you want to win, you should take less money. But the owner ain't got to take less money. I wish I might.
Mm. At least I still got the Wolf Hunter who would play for free.
No, he won't. Yeah.
He'll play for shotgun shells. That's all, right?
Okay, shotgun shells. Yeah.
Shotgun shells. Just give me some shells, Jerry. I'll be okay. You do hate you some Dallas.
No,
Cowboys,
I don't.
And you are just reveling in this,
I am.
You love this.
I told you it was going to happen.
Before I launch into Dak Prescott, I got to put him back into perspective just for those who have forgotten. Most game-winning drives over the last 3 years in pro football, Dak Prescott. Best completion percentage ever for a quarterback in the first 3 years, Dak Prescott. Second most wins to Tom Brady over the last 3 years, DPN Big D, who, by the way, has won the division twice in 3 years. I'd say that's
pretty good.
It's pretty good, right? And he has averaged finishing eighth in QBR, so that's top 10 QBR over 3 years. That's pretty great. So, what is he worth? Well, is he worth Kirk Cousins? I never said Kirk Cousins was worth that money because I thought he was the most overpaid quarterback in the history of pro football, and he lived down to that this year.
What about Matthew Stafford? You think he's worth Matthew Stafford's about $27 million a year. Is he that?
Good example.
What have I always called Dak Prescott? He is Brady-esque in the way he plays. He's not Tom Brady, but he is more like Brady than like Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
So I believe he will take a Brady-esque hometown discount.
I bet you he don't.
I'll bet you he will.
How much? Well, let's get some due.
Well, get some due on what?
I bet you. Yeah. I bet you he don't take a penny less than $25 million. A penny less than 25.
I've been saying $100 million for five, which would be more in the 20 range. See if you give him all of it guaranteed. If you guarantee $100 million.
Skip, Stephen Jones says he deserves a contract between 25 and 30.
Yep.
That's what Stephen said.
Yeah.
Well, to me, there is discount in getting to play quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. Do not underestimate that. I believe Dak Prescott believes he was born to play quarterback for the Cowboys.
He's getting him a discount.
It's a big deal.
A discount is not Aaron Rodgers' money.
How many national TV commercials did Dak get up to last year? I think it was 11.
And you got upset at that.
Okay, I got upset because you got to earn it before you get them, right? You got to go do something, and he went and won a playoff game, so I'll give him 9 of those 11.
He'll get no 9 commercials after one playoff win.
I think he's doing okay off the field, so you got to factor that in because do you want to win? Tom Brady says, yes, I want to keep winning until I'm 42 years of age. So he takes way less. He takes half of market value.
But Tom Brady didn't take less his first contract that he got out of the box.
But it wasn't that great to start with.
But it was great for that time.
All right, okay, I give you that. Ezekiel Elliott is tight with Jerry Jones. Why? Because Jerry hung right with him through his tough times, didn't he?
Yeah.
Jerry was right there fighting with him and for him all the way through it, right? He never condemned him publicly. He never said anything, but I am with you. And we got to see in that documentary that was up on Amazon, I can't remember the name of it, but we got to see Zeke come back the first day and go in Jerry's office, and it was like, welcome home, welcome back. They're hugging and, you know, crying with each other. And again, there's some hometown discount involved in that. There's some ability for Jerry, the silver-tongued devil that he can be, to say, hey, let's all do this together because we have a chance to do special
things.
Because
Jerry was a young and now old party animal like Zeke.
He was. I got a knock on wood about Zeke's party animalism. I hope he can
maintain control.
Especially when it comes to your Cowboys. Gee.
What did Amari Cooper say like second and third week in Dallas last year? Man, I love it here. It is night and day from Oakland, and I love catching footballs from Dak Prescott. They're so catchable. Those such a sweet spiral. You know how that feels where you just get on a wavelength with that football and with that quarterback.
Yep.
You got this.
Yep.
So, again, maybe a little hometown discount just to stay with America's team and Big D. Maybe.
This is what we know. They've already got three linemen making top dollar at their position.
Yep.
The center, the guard, and the left tackle.
Deservedly so. They earned it.
No problem.
Yep.
But this is what we know about receivers. It's all about being the highest paid.
I don't see diva in Amari.
No, ain't no diva. No, I ain't no diva because I want to make my money. Jenny ain't no diva because, you know, she want to be a hoe. She want to make that paper. Ain't no diva on Hallmark Jenny. Mm. She got he got a yee whiz. No, I'm not gonna be able to take that.
You're making this alter ego to me. I'm not.
Skip Bayless, this is what you hope for. This is what happens, Skip. Mm. When you draft well, you just hope the players pan out to be what you want them to be. Mm-hmm. You know who ran into this problem? Mm. Seattle. Mm. Remember, they drafted all those guys around 2011, 2012. The Bobby Wagners, the Richard Sherman, the Cam Chancellor. Mm-hmm. They traded for Michael Bennett. Mm. You get all the Russell Wilson.
Yep.
And guess what? Earl Thomas. Mm. All those contracts come due. That's that balloon payment. Jen, I know you didn't own a home back then, but you used to have this thing, balloon payments. Mm. You didn't have to pay no interest. All you did was just pay interest on the house. Mm. People had 20,000 square foot home for $500. Mm. But in 5 years, you're going to have to pay $40 million for this place. Mm. That balloon payment is coming due, Skip. Mm. And Jerry got it, too. Buying a $250 million yacht, but you wanted to give him a hometown discount. Mm. No, sirree. Mm. I want me a yacht, too.
Mm. Jerry will pull this off.
Oh, yeah.
Pull them all together.
He'll find
We're family here.
Yes.
We're family.
Say it.
Yeah.
I got to feed
Speaking
my family.
Speaking into existence, is that what you like to say around here, Skip?
Well, give me a little something under the table, like Jerry.
No more knocking.
Did Jerry not pull off a sweet deal? He traded what became the 27th overall pick straight up for Amari Cooper. Yeah. That will work.
Yeah.
What did Steven say yesterday? We're going to watch Amari highlights while Oakland's making their pick at 27, right?
Yeah.
Something there.
I need that paper, though.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. See you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one.